This message comes from OnPoint's sponsor, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you qualify, and if rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also drops. To learn more, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. It's really worth doing a close read of the Daily Mail article about Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens. You know, it's that one with the pictures of him working as a cashier at Trader Joe's. Because the British tabloid relishes in all the language of class shaming, saying Owens is wearing a shirt with, quote, stain marks on it, working at a job that pays $11 per hour, that it was, quote, a shock to see him looking the way he did. The woman who snapped the picture said, "It made me feel really bad." Well, here's how Owens himself responded.
You can't shame people for trying to make an honest living.
And yet at first, that's exactly what happened. Waves of job shaming, especially on social media. But then there too was pushback. And also a deeper question, why? Even as America celebrates certain workers, we don't more vigorously celebrate the dignity of work itself. Well, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this. You can join us on air or online. What went through your head or your heart when you saw Jeffrey Owens bagging groceries at a Trader Joe's? What does the reaction say that was across social media about how we value the way we work, or if we value work at all? Have you ever experienced job shaming? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Well, joining me first today from New York is author and freelance journalist Aaliyah King. You can find a link to her piece for BET. She wrote, it's headlined, "Jeffrey Owens and How Black Artists Are Expected to Survive." That link is at onpointradio.org. Aaliyah, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me. Hi, Meghna.
Hi. Well, first of all, let me just start with the really simple question. When you first saw this article, or perhaps maybe the reaction to it, what you saw, what was your first thought?
My first reaction when I just saw the story and heard about it was, as a fellow freelancer who often has to think about getting a day job, my stomach just sunk because I know that he was doing what he needed to do. And I also knew that he did not want everyone to know about it necessarily. So on that level, I could feel that pain. And then when I saw what the responses were, I was never as happy with the internet as I was that day when I saw the tide turn to waves and waves of support for him. I was not expecting that. I thought there would be more and more ridicule, and it wasn't. After maybe a few hours of people saying things and snickering and et cetera, the pushback was sharp, it was forceful, and it was quick. And that is not something I see all the time in social media.
You know, obviously I want to talk a lot about sort of the pushback in a minute. But I went back and today reread that original Daily Mail article. And my sigh is because, yes, it's a British tabloid that really just traffics in titillation and shaming. That's how they make their money. But looking at what was written in the article itself, it was the comment from the woman who took the picture who said, you know, after being on The Cosby Show, I was surprised to see him ending up like this. So there was this presumption right then and there that, you know, if you've been in the public eye in front of a camera on a once beloved show, that bagging groceries, doing honest work, bagging groceries at a Trader Joe is somehow a fall from grace. I don't know if that's the right term. I mean,
I think it is.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly what it is. And it speaks to, you know, all of our issues with celebrities and how we hold them up. We put them on this pedestal. I mean, he was on this show 30 years ago. This is not someone who was on Friends 10 years ago. We're talking about a side player who was not a star of the show, who didn't come on in the first season, and it was 30 years ago. So the idea that even someone like that has to be expected to be on screen and making a full living as an actor all the time is presumptuous, and it's just not realistic.
But didn't he, Jeffrey Owens himself, you hinted at this a second ago, didn't he say that at first he didn't really want people to know that he was working there?
Yes.
Because could that have had an effect on his acting career?
Absolutely. When I wrote the piece, he had not yet said those words on TV yet. So when I saw the interview, my stomach and my heart just broke, because I know there have been times in my career where I really did need to go to a Trader Joe's or a Starbucks or something that would be flexible enough for me to finish my book, but still have regular money or health benefits. And a lot of times I didn't take that job because what if my agent walks in here? What if someone who came to one of my readings and wanted a signed copy of my book walks in here? Now, sure, it could just be my level of pride, but I honestly don't think so.
Yeah.
People expect people to stay where they expect them to be. And when he said, yes, I was going to work here, but no, I don't want necessarily the entire Hollywood community to know, because they're going to put me in the box. Oh, Jeffrey Owens, he works at Trader Joe's. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And I've always feared that would happen to me, too.
Huh. Well, let's listen to what Jeffrey Owens himself told CNN last week. He basically, as Aaliyah's pointing out, The Cosby Show stopped making new episodes, signed off essentially in 1992. And since then, he has found work. He's a working actor, so Owens has found work in the entertainment industry, but not consistently.
The Cosby Show ended 26 years ago. And in the past 26 years, I have hardly ever had an acting job that lasted more than 10 weeks. So basically, I haven't had steady employment.
Aaliyah, you know what strikes me about that is he's sort of pulling the curtain aside on the reality of life for many working actors.
Absolutely.
But doesn't this also resonate even more now, because employment in general for people, whether or not you're in the creative fields, is so uncertain? Like, he is representing a reality that millions of people are facing, not having jobs for long periods of time or steady employment.
Absolutely. But I do think that creative positions, or positions where you're in a place where people look up to you, it makes it even more difficult to... I'm just in awe of him. I'm really proud of him. And he makes me think of my life as a writer differently. And I think that's going to happen for a lot of creatives.
Yeah.
He doesn't even realize it yet. And I don't know if we all realize it yet. But what happened to him was a true watershed moment. And I think we're going to see a lot of creatives be able to take down that armor and say, hey, I love what I do. I'm going to do it when I can. I'm going to do it when it suits me. But I'm also not going to be afraid to get my hands dirty and do what I need to do to feed my family.
All right. Well, let's hear a little bit more of what Jeffrey Owens had to say. We did invite him today, but apparently he's on an airplane at the time that we're on the air right now, so he couldn't join us. But he did do a different interview with ABC's Good Morning America. This is last week. And he said that no one should feel bad for him. And he really does hope that some good comes from his experience.
I hope what doesn't pass is this idea that people are now thinking, this rethinking about what it means to work, you know, the honor of the working person and the dignity of work. And I hope that this period that we're in now, where we have a heightened sensitivity about that and a reevaluation of what it means to work, and that a reevaluation of the idea that some jobs are better than others, because that's actually not true.
That's Jeffrey Owens on ABC's Good Morning America. I'm speaking today with Aaliyah King. She's joining us from New York. And joining us now is Barbara Ehrenreich. She's with us from Washington today. She's an author, journalist, political activist, founder of the Economic Hardship Reporting Project, author of many incredible books, including Bait and Switch, The Futile Pursuit of the American Dream, Nickel and Dimed as well, and Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness and the Certainty of Dying, Killing Ourselves to Live Longer. Barbara Ehrenreich, welcome to On Point.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Well, first of all, tell us, I mean, you have been writing and exploring and living this life that we're talking about regarding, like, work and the dignity of work for years. When there was that first initial reaction to seeing Jeffrey Owens again in that stained shirt bagging groceries, what did you think about the reaction?
Well, I think we have to get used to the idea that a lot of people, not just so-called creative people, but, you know, people, this is a gig economy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know when the next gig is going to come from. I know a lot about freelance writers because of the group I work with, in fact, founded Economic Hardship Reporting Project. And we try to support low-income writers, which there is no shortage of, You know, in these periods of hard times, and even to get them to write about those jobs. We just got a great article from a woman with a master's degree who's been working for months in a potato chip factory. Now, this is a way she can put maybe some of those master's degree skills to use, describing that kind of work. But we've got to get used to it. And here, you know, Aaliyah, I would urge you to feel pride. You do, you know, you do your writing, and you also do the in-between kinds of things that you have to do, but also things that these are jobs that keep you in touch with how most Americans live. Mm. And that's important.
Yeah. Aaliyah?
So just take pride, I'm saying.
Very true. Very true.
I know freelance writers who mow lawns in the summer, who clean houses. In one drastic case, is a guy who was selling his plasma to make money between, you know, writing assignments.
That's definitely going to be a part of how I think about my career. This is my 20th year as a freelance writer. And I do say there's a point of pride to be able to say, I made it. It's just 20 years and I've been freelancing. There's a point of pride to that. However, there's not a point of pride if you're hungry. So I do need to start to try to find that balance between this is what I want to do and this is what I need to do.
Yeah, but we have to get over the idea that being a writer or an actor is somehow better and more glamorous and worthy than being a cashier or a cleaning person.
Well,
that's what I would say.
I agree, but I also have to push back a little bit because in my case, you know, coming from the neighborhood that I came from, the parents that I came from, the friends that I came from, my community has put me on a pedestal. And for better or for worse, sometimes I feel like I need to stay on it.
Interesting. Aaliyah, I want to pick up that thought with you when we come back, because also it's sort of, I think what's one of the things that's at the heart of this moment right now is really, you know, what we consider work that should be celebrated versus work that has dignity. And those two things, perhaps in the American mind, don't necessarily 100% overlap, but I want to explore that notion with both of you when we come back. We are talking about Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens and how he was outed as working at a Trader Joe's in a British tabloid and the reaction to that, but then also the defense of the dignity of work that came after the initial reaction. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
This message comes from On Point's sponsor, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, introducing their all-new Rate Shield approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Quicken Loans will lock your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030.
What's unique about the human experience, and what do we all have in common? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey through the big ideas, emotions, and discoveries that fill all of us with wonder. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking about the outcry and then pushback that happened after former Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens, a picture of him was put in a British tabloid of him working as a cashier at a Trader Joe's. And that really sparked a lot of discussion about job shaming and the dignity of work in America. I'm joined today by Aaliyah King. She is a freelance journalist, and we have a link to her piece that originally appeared in BET. It's titled Jeffrey Owens and How Black Artists Are Expected to Survive. That link is at onpointradio.org. Barbara Ehrenreich also joins us as well today. She's author of many books, including Bait and Switch, nickel and dimed and natural causes as well. And Aaliyah and Barbara, we've got a listener on Facebook who calls themselves Angie Short Rippy. But Angie says, people don't value necessity of work, only fame or power work. So just try doing a job, say being a garbage collector or a truck driver for a week, just two of so many jobs that would crush your life. But no one cares. So, Barbara, here's what I want to get. I want to get right down to something with you. I mean, do you think that in America, popularly speaking, especially politically speaking, we go out of our way to celebrate workers, but we don't necessarily celebrate the dignity or the work they're actually doing? Is there a disconnect there?
Oh, yes. What I did for my book, Nickel and Dimed, was I went and worked in necessarily low-wage jobs where I didn't need a resume, and wrote about it, you know, wrote about my experience in these jobs. And one, and so they were waitressing, hotel housekeeping, nursing home aid, Walmart associate, and I'm leaving something out. But what I learned is that I will never, ever say the word unskilled again about anybody's job. Because I learned that every job takes skill and concentration and intelligence, you know, and deserves our full respect and decent remuneration.
Yeah, I mean, so but why is it then, though, that we don't equally, honestly, on a day-to-day basis, collectively, we don't necessarily celebrate the dignity of all work? I mean, is it because there's this presumption that certain jobs, if you're in that job, it's a representation of like you didn't fulfill the American dream? Is it because this work is considered to have lesser value? I mean, I don't know. I think that's one of the things this whole controversy has really stirred up, that Americans can be very hypocritical about this.
Well, yes, but we see what people are paid, and that is a very basic measure of how much we honor their work. I mean, you can have we don't have Labor Day parades anymore, but you could, when we did even, bosses, employers were not honoring that work by paying a wage that a person could live on. Now, I don't know, I think Aaliyah said Magna said the amount that Jeffrey Owens was paid at Trader Joe's, $11 an hour?
Well, that's what the Daily Mail said. I don't know if that's actually much he was paid, to be perfect.
Yeah, but suppose it's that. That is well below a living wage. And by that, I mean a minimum wage that, say, it's scaled to the size of the family. Let's just say one person could live on. In other words, Trader Joe's is not paying him enough to live on.
Yeah, it's interesting because, a lot of people say Trader Joe's is actually a pretty great place to work because their wages are, higher than minimum wage in many, many places, and they give pretty good benefits as well. But Aaliyah, this sort of idea of the hypocrisy or the disconnect in terms of how we actually honor the dignity of work itself and the workers, I want to ask that question of you because you were saying before the break something really interesting, that you feel like there are certain jobs that you have to do in order to get by that you don't really want to talk about because your community has put you on a pedestal as a celebrated, creative person, and that doing those other jobs doesn't match or rise up to the pedestal that they've put you at.
Absolutely. And it's hard for me to say that that's hypocrisy, although we can say that. But for me, it's more my community has had such a impact on creating me and allowing me to follow my dreams and saying, okay, Aaliyah's in her third year of school. Things are getting weird. Who can, go pick her up every Saturday so she can take this extra class? Like, it wasn't my parents. It was my neighbors and it was my teachers and it was, my whole world. So when I decided to begin writing, I remember my first few stories would be like 100 words long, and you would think they were going to have a ticker tape parade for me because my name and my byline was in this paper. And it wasn't just me. I wasn't doing it just for myself. So as it is now, it would be really difficult, quite frankly, with all we talk about with the dignity of work and everything I know about the dignity of work, it would be very difficult for me to work at Trader Joe's. Why? Not for me, but because my grandmother in the 50s got a job cleaning toilets at a mental hospital and did that every week, 80 hours a week for 30 years, and then told my mom, don't ever do it. I don't want to ever see you do this, ever. And my mom became a secretary, which was a great job in the 60s and 70s to have. And she followed along with her boss's rules and all of the indignities that came with being a secretary. And she said to me, don't do it. I want you to do what you love. Don't ever do something for the money. Whatever that is, I will go to the ends of the earth to make sure you have that. And she did. And that's where I am now. So I can't lightly say to her, oh, mom, I'm going to go work at Trader Joe's. Of course we know about the dignity of work. Yeah. But a lot of times it's much more complicated than that.
Oh, Barbara Ehrenreich, what does that make you think? How do you respond
well,
to that?
Yeah, I have some of the same things in my background. I kind of figured that my family, my lineage, had done enough manual labor, blue-collar labor. My mother was a house cleaner when I was born. My father was a miner in the copper mines. And, you know, the idea was we've got to get out of this. You know, I went to college. That was a big investment for my parents. But, you know, it also carries with it a certain responsibility to do as well as you can. However, where my life's journey, if I may use that cliche, took me, though, was back to the question of blue-collar work, of manual work, and the dignity of that. Because that's one thing I always learned from my father. Respect what everybody does.
Yeah.
It may look like nothing to you, like you might think you could learn it in a half an hour. No. Have some humility.
Right.
Have some respect.
Well, we are talking about the dignity of work and still that impulse that maybe that we still have also as American to, on the one hand, celebrate the dignity of work, but also job shame as well. And this conversation is coming about because former Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens was put into a British tabloid magazine, a photograph of him working at Trader Joe's, bagging groceries. And there was a lot of outcry that came in response to that. So I'd love to know, listeners, what you think. I mean, have you experienced job shaming? Do you think America really does honor the dignity of work, or is that something that we just talk about? And, you know, Barbara Ehrenreich a couple of minutes ago said, look at how much we pay a lot of workers. We don't pay them very much. So we're saying, well, I mean, corporations are saying certain things about what they value. Is there a different way that we can value that work? Let's go to John, who's calling from Detroit, Michigan. You're on the air, John.
Thanks, Magna. So I'm a stagehand in the city of Detroit, and so I meet quite a bit of the talent. And you know what? Most of them are just down-to-earth, real people. And you have your occasional, please don't look at the talent as they walk by and that kind of stuff. But most of them chat with us, and some of them occasionally say, thank you. Without you, we don't have a show. And so I applaud him for working. And the other thing I want to say, and I haven't heard this, is I have a lot more respect for him than the star of the show.
Oh, the star being Bill Cosby. Right. John, thank you so much for your call. Aaliyah, this is like a little bit of a tangent here, but I think I read someplace that because of, you know, obviously Bill Cosby and the terrible things that he did, since the Cosby Show isn't really running anymore anywhere, that Jeffrey Owens, what little money he would have gotten from residuals from the Cosby Show, that too is gone now. Another
Correct.
Reason why he needed to find different ways to make ends meet.
Correct. Although I did a little bit of research into, I'm really fascinated by residuals and how that works. And there's really it's really difficult to find a streamlined example of how it works. So much of it depends on your initial contract. So much of it depends on what time, you know, what years it was on the air and what management you had at the time. So I don't know that he ever was getting the type of residuals that he could have lived on. I doubt very seriously that he was seeing residual checks prior to the shows being taken off the air that were really substantial.
Right. Well, let's go to Brindley, who's calling from Columbia, South Carolina. You're on the air, Brindley.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah, no, we're here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I work at a Chick-fil-A. I went to college for 4 years. I'm working on my master's degree in media communications now. And so, like I said, I couldn't find another job just because of the job market. I just got married. And so I just took a job that that I got. And it was just working at a Chick-fil-A for the $11 an hour. And just said it, not what I wanted to be doing, but it definitely was hard. It's hard for me to, like, put my pride aside there as well and not have, like, a, quote, real job.
Okay, so tell me more about that. You said it's hard for you to put your pride aside. What do you mean?
Well, I applied for about 40 or 50 other positions in my area that had something to do with my degree and what I went to school for and what I enjoy doing. And so I just, and I got a couple callbacks and a couple interviews. And even, like, working on my master's, and I just had to take the job that I got.
Yeah. Brindley, thank you so much for your call. Barbara Ehrenreich, Brindley's getting right to something which you talked about earlier, but I want to explore more, right? Because she said Brindley applied to 40 or 50 jobs in her area, but in order to make ends meet, for now, she has to work at a Chick-fil-A. I mean, this is the reality for so many people. This is what I don't, you know, we shouldn't be job shaming anyone anymore because very few people have any kind of job certainty in the modern economy that we've got.
Well, right. And I think if Brittany asks around, she'll be surprised to find out how many of the people she works with also have higher degrees, also have aspirations to something that they think of as more creative and prestigious. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of the strange realities of the American workforce now.
Yeah.
You cannot expect that what you're good at, which might be, for example, poetry, is going to pay. So it's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Hey, that rhymes.
Let's go to Anthony, who's calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. You're on the air, Anthony.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I came from Cuban-American immigrants, and it was not unlike any of the people coming here that took whatever jobs they could take in order to get to where they needed to go. So they could have been lawyers. They could have been doctors. It didn't matter. They, you know, could be dishwashers, whatever. So every parent, and I understand what one of your guests is saying there, that every parent wants their children to do better. I certainly wanted that for my children as well, and my children all graduated from college. But guess what? They're doing jobs they don't want to do, the same thing. It's where life takes us, you know, and so everybody, regardless of what work they're doing, has dignity and should be, you know, looked upon as valued. And so it doesn't matter. Some of us are highly skilled. You know, some of us are highly educated and are not paid. Teachers aren't paid what they should be paid.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, we're a society that looks at success and doesn't value people unless they have power and they're making a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
That's a mistake.
Anthony, thank you so much for your call. I mean, I'd actually think that Aaliyah agrees with you. Of course, she said it, that, like, Aaliyah, you said all work
yes.
does have dignity. But
absolutely.
But respond to what he said.
Well, I think for him, what he did say about his children is that, you know, they all have college degrees and they don't like what they're doing. And I think for some of us, it's a little bit different when you do love what you're doing. I pinch myself every single day that I have the career that I've had for the past 20 years. So that makes it, you know, it's interesting when we talk about dignity, there's two things that are at work here. First, there's a dignity of taking the job that you need. Second, there's a dignity of being seen as not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So when this woman sees Jeffrey Owens and Trader Joe's, she's like, well, what are you doing? Why are you here?
She said it made her feel sad seeing him
right,
there.
Exactly. So there's first that point. And I wonder how many, I mean, he actually works in my local Trader Joe's. So it's very likely that I saw him there and just didn't recognize him. So he said people came up to him every day that he was at work. Every single day, someone recognized him. And most times, people would smile and continue on their way. So there's that. So there's the whole, people are seeing me not doing the thing that I love to do. And then there's the, I'm not doing the thing that I love to do. So it's multifaceted there. It's not
just
very simple.
Just to put this in a little perspective, things are very skewed in our society. At the top, we have the CEOs who are now averaging, for large companies anyway, $110 million a year. I think if you do the math, $10 an hour comes out considerably below that, you know, like in the teens per year, yeah, or $20,000 per year. Why do we value so much the work of a CEO who sits behind a desk, goes out for important lunches, plays important golf games, et cetera, over the technicians, the secretaries, even the cleaning people who work for him?
Well, you know, interesting, Barbara, that you asked that question, because I think the first response that I imagine a lot of people have is, well, who are you talking about when you say we, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a certain class of decision makers and very wealthy and influential people who have shaped the economy around, you could argue, to serve their needs and to create this giant or exacerbate this giant divide. That the we really should be thinking about are the folks who haven't had a chance to have a say about that $110 million a year versus the dignity or inherent value of work they're doing as cashiers, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, we've got to take a quick break here. We're talking about the outcry and the response that came when Jeffrey Owens, former actor on The Cosby Show, was photographed as working in a Trader Joe's, and the job shaming and the questioning about the dignity of work that followed thereafter. I'm speaking with Aaliyah King and Barbara Ehrenreich. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
This message comes from NPR's sponsor, Indeed. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need help getting to your short list of qualified candidates fast. With Indeed, post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates. And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free when you sign up at Indeed.com/NPR podcast. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Planet Money tip number 17. Sometimes the most important things need a hype squad.
Corporate. Income.
Income.
Tax.
Corporate income tax!
Planet Money, a podcast about the economy. A very enthusiastic podcast about the economy.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about the dignity of work and whether or not we as Americans truly celebrate the dignity of all work. And this question rises because of actor Jeffrey Owens. He was formerly of The Cosby Show. He was photographed and the picture was put into a British tabloid of him bagging groceries at Trader Joe's, a job that he's needed because he has said that ever since The Cosby Show went off the air, he hasn't had a regular acting work that's lasted more than 10 weeks here or there for almost 25 years. So would love to know what you think. I mean, do we as Americans really truly celebrate the dignity of all work, or is it something that we're a little hypocritical about? Now, this is a question that, you know, people have been talking about for a long time. So let's go back for a second to March 1968, Memphis, Tennessee. Here's the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He was supporting a sanitation worker strike in Memphis, of course. Not long after that, Dr. King was assassinated. But here's a speech that he delivered again about the dignity of work.
So often, we overlook the worth and the significance of those who are not in professional jobs, of those who are not in the so-called big jobs. But let me say to you tonight, that whenever you are engaged in work that serves humanity and is for the building of humanity, it has dignity and it has worth.
Martin Luther King Jr., March 1968, in Memphis, Tennessee. Let's go to Tim, who's calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. You're on the air, Tim.
Hi, I'd like to relate my experience and
a lesson in humility and mutual respect, especially with hourly manufacturing workers. 34 years ago, I embarked on my career of product development with a brand new PhD in chemistry and an overinflated sense of entitlement, I think. And an idea from my laboratory was presented to some technicians who told me that my experiment wouldn't get done unless I helped. And I made the mistake of saying, that's not in my job description.
Mm-hmm.
And they laughed, and for years, they made fun of me with that. But what I learned is that for an idea in product development to make it to be actualized, it needs to be manufactured in very complicated processes that are run primarily by hourly workers who have years of experience, who understand the process in ways that are not described in any textbook. And the way things get done well in a manufacturing environment, and I'm doing it today, this very day I'm doing experiments which require mutual respect, is to work together.
Right.
And
Tim, let me just grab it from...
Push the broom.
Yeah, so Tim, forgive me for interrupting, but I just want to grab it from you there. Aaliyah and Barbara, and Aaliyah, let me just start with you. I think Tim's last thought there was what I wanted to turn to you about, you know, for people in various jobs, various levels, et cetera, in order to truly recognize the dignity and importance of the work that others do, we got to work together more. But it's funny because I don't think, like, the American workplace may no longer really be conducive to that.
No, it doesn't quite work that way. In most fields, everything is pretty much a silo. And you were trained to do this, and you do this. And you were trained to do that, and you do that. This is very true. And I do think that there isn't a career out there where you can't benefit from seeing what everyone has to do to make this come together. But it's not very often that you have those kind of opportunities.
Yeah. Well,
and Tim was saying that, you know, he found out he could do a better job if there was mutual respect, if he had the humility to get down and, you know, down and dirty with the technicians in the experiment. You know, that we lose something when we can't do that.
Mm. Let's go to Cliff, who's calling from Providence, Rhode Island. You're on the air, Cliff.
Hi. I guess I just wanted to make a comment that it was very heartening to me that it was said earlier that there's really no kind of unskilled labor despite the station or pay grade. I myself work two jobs, one of which is at a hardware store, another of which is on a small farm, and I'm paid minimum wage for each, but yet have to have a ton of skills and really, you know, work my tail off at each. And I take a lot of pride in both of those jobs, personally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Cliff, thank you so much for your call. Barbara, do you want to respond to Cliff?
Sure. Yeah. I actually came to the studio today driven by a taxi driver who asserted that his job was unskilled. And I said, what? You're doing the driving. You know all this. You know where to go. You know what lane to be in next, etc. I could not do this. You're doing it for me. Have some pride in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he nodded. Yeah, this is skilled work. And I say it to, when I speak, like, at a college, I say to the professors, if you think some jobs, like doing the food service work in your university, are unskilled, just try it for a day.
Yeah.
You know, just give it a try.
So if I could, Aaliyah and Barbara, I just want to kind of take a step back here and think through something with both of you, if that's all right. I'm really grateful that we're having this conversation, and quite frankly, because of, you know, I'm grateful that there was the outcry and pushback over the photograph of Jeffrey Owens. And here's why, because I think we've got a particular challenge here in the United States, and we've had it historically, because in other countries, you know, there's the class system. It's pretty much codified into their laws, or the caste system, or, you know, there's a historical aristocracy, things like that. I mean, you know, for better or for worse, there are clearer rules or expectations or traditions around certain work and its value. I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm just saying that that's, you know, elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, you know, for a couple of centuries now, there has been this belief of, you know, in the American dream of advancement, right? Of self-betterment. I mean, Jacob, one of our listeners, comments on our website, the rhetoric in America is that everyone, quote, is a millionaire that hasn't made it yet. And therefore, everyone wants to think they're above work. I mean, isn't this kind of one of those fundamental challenges that we can't really be honest with ourselves about as a society, the pride that we should or shouldn't take in different work because of exactly what Jacob says?
But well, remember, Meghna, that those other countries you're comparing us to, the ones that perhaps did have historical aristocracies, now have functioning welfare states. We don't have that. You have no guarantee of health insurance. You are unlikely to get any kind of housing subsidy. You don't get subsidized child care. They're looking to eliminate food stamps now in Washington. So, you know, it's much harder here to survive on lower wages.
Mm. Oh, Aaliyah, did you want to say jump in here?
Yes. I think that the person who commented about we're all the idea that we believe that we're all millionaires that just haven't made it yet, that's key to everything we've been talking about
right.
here. Because for better or for worse, that's what our country's been founded on. The idea that all men are created equal and that we can all pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we can all make this happen. So with all the positivity that has come from that, we also have to understand what it meant for human nature. It's really natural for us to look at someone and say, I want them to stay at this place. I want Brad Pitt to be Brad Pitt forever. I don't want him to bag my groceries. I once went to the laundromat near my home soon after my first book came out. And a woman in the laundromat took a double take at me. And she said, what are you doing in the laundromat? And I thought, I'm washing my clothes. And she said, I just saw your mom just told me about your new book and it's doing really well. I said, it is, but it's not going to keep my clothes clean. I still have to go to the laundromat. It's a smaller bit, but it shows us human nature. She didn't think that I could be in a laundromat. I should be in some mansion on the hill with people driving up the mountain to do my laundry for me. That's how skewed we are with what success looks like. And it's because we often put our dreams on others. We say, if this person's doing this, I'm a millionaire just waiting to happen, and soon I'm going to be doing that.
Right, right. Brian is calling from Miami, Florida. You're on the air, Brian.
Hello, ma'am. I just want to give my experience. I am an employee for the Miami-Dade County Public Schools. While I was getting my master's degree, they gave me an option to become a custodian or be fired. They had financial troubles. I was a custodian for a junior high for 2 years, a year and a half with a master's degree. And I just want maybe other people to understand that I accepted it and I knew I was a good person and it was an experience in life. It wasn't life. It was just a point in life that just the whole experience made me a better person to know that I went through being a custodian during that point of time with the master's degree, and I am now an administrator. If there's people out there, please know that if you're in a small job like Mr. Owens is, it's just a point. It's an experience. Take it for what it's worth and continue to go forward.
Yeah. But Brian, can I just ask you a question? I completely hear what you say, and I appreciate your call. But let me ask you, you just said, like, it's a point. Take it and go forward. But, you know, part of the thing that we've been wrestling with this hour is, what's wrong with the point in and of itself? What's wrong with being a custodian for, you know, the entirety of your career or being a cashier? Like, why is it that we should consider it a point to move forward from?
Well, I don't mean it as it's just a point in life. If I met some of the greatest people at Barbara Goldman Senior High as custodian, some of the best people, even though I'm an administrator, some of the best people I've ever worked with were those custodians at that school. And what I mean by it's a point, it's an experience. It's nothing to be shameful of. It's just you. If once I accepted it, other people allowed me to accept myself being a custodian.
I got you.
It was a great point and experience of life.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so very much for your call. Barbara Ehrenreich, did you want to respond to what Brian said?
Well, Brian, not everybody is going to move to an administrative job from being a school custodian. And I think that's what you're kind of leaving out. You are, you know, seeing for yourself an upward track. But that's not true for everybody. And I think the problem here is what do we say, what do we do about the person who is always going to be the school custodian? First of all, he or she needs more pay, right? And they need more dignity. They need more respect from the people around them, including the teachers, including the students, including the administrators.
Yeah. Aliyah, there are so many interesting comments that are coming in on all different angles on this topic. Let me just read one to you, and I'd love to hear what you think.
Sure.
Someone on our website, onpointradio.org, calling themselves Mark, I think Mark 788, but he's using Roman numerals, says, I don't like the notion that seems to have become popular, especially with teens and young adults, that everyone deserves to make a living doing what they love. Mark says it's just a false utopian rose-colored view of the world that puts self-fulfillment ahead of actually paying the bills. And then finally, people who work hard and successfully support themselves deserve respect no matter what jobs they do and whether they love the work or not. Just wondering what you think about that.
I cannot disagree more with the first part of what he said. I do believe, and this is just my own beliefs, that we should at least attempt to do and find and train for the work that fulfills us. I mean, I don't want to work in a job where I'm not happy until it's time for me to go. If I have to do whatever it is that I have to do to feed my children, I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to, I have a 21-year-old daughter. And she's an art student at the Rhode Island School of Design. And toward the end of her senior year, after loving art since she was in kindergarten, she told her father and I that she wanted to major in psychology. We knew that this was just fear. She was frightened. How is she going to get a job? And having two parents as creatives, it became sort of an inside joke now that we said, there is no way you're going to study psychology when you don't love it. You're going to take your butt to art school and we're going to go broke and you're going to pursue your dreams. So that's how I feel. And I guess, you know, I can understand why some say that no one should think they need to do that or have the right to do that. But I think that's really personal. I want both of my daughters to at least try. Go for what's going to make you happy. Because if you do, the money most likely will come. If you have to supplement that with a job at Trader Joe's, so be it. But I personally think that creatively feeling fulfilled is crucial.
Yeah. Well, Barbara Ehrenreich, we've got about a minute and a half to go here. I'm just wondering, this has been such a fascinating conversation. I mean, your final thought about where we are at this moment. I mean, do you see, as long as we're not necessarily as a society putting our money where our mouths are in terms of, like you said, healthcare, retirement, living wages for people who do all manner of work, are we forever going to be a little hypocritical about saying that all Americans recognize the dignity of all work?
Well, dignity is one of the main things people talk about when they join unions, for example. They're looking, yeah, for more money, but dignity is a big, big goal for people. So I have hope that, you know, that we'll start listening to Dr. Martin Luther King on this. And, you know, I just want to say one other thing he said, I think, in that speech was that when people work for less than they can live on, they are making a philanthropic contribution to the rest of society. Mm-hmm. You know, because we need the cashier. We need the person who cleans toilets. We need all these things.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing it as a gift to us.
Indeed. Well, Barbara Ehrenreich, author, journalist, and political activist, author of many books, including Bait and Switched, Nickel and Dimed, and Natural Causes. It's been a real pleasure to hear you this hour. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
And Aliyah King, freelance journalist, who's written a piece in BET, headlined Jeffrey Owens and How Black Artists Are Expected to Survive. We've got a link to that at onpointradio.org. Aliyah, what a pleasure it's been to talk with you this hour. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, keep your comments coming. I mean, this is an issue that affects us all, no matter what we do. on a day-to-day basis. Go to onpointradio.org and tell us what you think about the dignity of work in America. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.